May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my soul find favor in your sight, my Lord, my God. Amen. Please be seated. There is surely a creative process in putting together a sermon. And I will say that my creative process is not always the most conventional, but in the end, I believe that the Spirit leads me to where I need to be. Part of that process is finding a quiet place after all my thoughts and resources are coming together. I go off to a quiet place and I just blast my playlist with many different sort of songs that pop up. And in preparing for this sermon, a particular song popped up that I hadn't heard in a long time. It was from a Broadway show, Matilda, and the song was When I Grow Up. And a particular song came up, the song When I Grow Up, and the words were, "When I grow up, I will be brave enough to fight the creature that you have to fight beneath the bed each night to be a grown-up." It reminded me of a time when I was very young that I was very afraid of the dark. I lost many nights not sleeping, fearful of the shadows and the sounds of the night. And then one night, after I began to grow up a little bit, I realized the only thing I had to do was to flip the switch, and the lights came on. And then it took me a little longer to realize that once the lights came on, all those creatures in the dark went away. There were no more sounds and no more voices, no more shadows looming. And even after a while, I realized that after every dark time, after every dark night, there was a moment that the light would come through my bedroom window. I knew the darkness was only for a moment, only for a season, and that too shall pass. As we grow up, our journeys are not always sunshine and paradise. Our journeys are not always easy, and our decisions are not always simple. We often find ourselves in dark places and dark times where we cannot so easily just flip a switch. We are easily or can be easily thrown off track, distracted, and if not careful, we can be derailed away from our purpose of the day, and even worse, in our lives, and even in the light of day. Just the thought, with all else going on, we now enter into a season associated with darkness and lack. We enter into a wilderness. And in a somewhat unsettling, the thought of giving up food, protection, and power is right before us. Now that might be daunting to many of us, of course, unless, as some of us already know, what it is like to live in a state of food insecurity, living in a state where justice is non-existent, and living in a state of where power is all and everything oppressive. But as Christians, we also know that in these days, the light will come. And it is not enough in these days not just to see the light, but worse, to ignore the darkness. Because we know the darkness will not last, because the Spirit is here and will lead us to where we need to go, navigating us through the crooked paths, the shadows in those dark places where we really don't want to know or go to, where angels would dare not tread. Joining us now in a different way, on a different ground, now in shared experiences that maybe before we were in safe places where we did not have to go. But now in these times, across race, across creed, gender, religion, across the found and the lost, the religious and the non-religious, we now are coming together in a different way. So when we sing the words, in all occasions, in all places, including Super Bowl games, placing our hands over our hand, our broken hearts, holding it together, or exercising our rights on bended knee, oh, say, can you see, by the dawn's early light, what so proudly we hailed, the twilight's last gleaming? For a moment, if we cannot see past the dark clouds of a raging storm, witnessing the destruction of our democracy, not by attacks from enemies abroad, but by the rise of a new Reich right up in here within our borders, that the land of the free and the home of the brave is under attack against humanity. Our histories are being erased, our flags of pride are being lowered, our words censored, our arts removed, our Bible being flipped upside down, turning God into their dog of war to unleash havoc, hate, chaos, and violence. And our neighbors from shores and lands abroad, all children of God created in his image, that have come here with dreams, individuals and families traveled by the light of a new day, to be brutally detained by armed mass agents in modern-day concentration camps. They gave up everything to be here. And we as their neighbors, children of God, baptized in the holy waters, we share in their prayers. We share in their prayers as they have their American dream, as they dream of the America that they hope to be in this season of Lent. As the prophet Isaiah put it, is this not the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Yes. We need to do much more in this season of Lent than lament about giving up sweets for 40 days and 40 nights. Because the Spirit is about to do some stuff with us. It's about to lead us. Can you hear the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, preparing a way of a new day? It will not let the stories and histories be erased of freedom to be silenced, because in the wilderness, with all God has created and placed in us, we are being prepared to do more than we can pray, ask, or imagine. For this is not a season of lack or giving up, but a season of preparation, preparing the flesh of our humanness to reunite to the power of our human spirit and make an everlasting power of Jesus Christ for us all to say together in unity in who God created us to be. This is the moment that we are meant to be. the moments that we are meant to be and to say together, I am somebody in God's kingdom. Isn't it curious? If we really look at it, Jesus didn't give up anything during the season of Lent. Let me be clear. Jesus was led to the wilderness. He fasted 40 days. Fasting was a common ritual in those days. Nothing truly unusual, often used as a ritual for cleansing and preparation. Yes, he was tempted by the devil. And although the devil taunting Jesus knew who Jesus was, he had no idea whose Jesus was as a son of God. You see, the devil didn't know that Jesus was not here to be fed. Jesus was the bread of life. Jesus was not here seeking a kingdom. He was the one who came to bring the kingdom to us. Jesus was not the one to be tempted. Jesus was the answer. But Jesus knew who he was. Jesus knew he was sent here by God. And after he was baptized in the River Jordan and lifted up by the Holy Spirit and brought to the wilderness for preparation, Jesus knew then, as there's the beginning, his hunger was not one of an empty belly. Oh, he was hungry, but not for earthly and wants and desires. You see, because Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. God had given him everything he needed. He had already declared him his beloved son. Before he had done one miracle, God said, "In you, my son, I am well pleased." Oh, Jesus was hungry, but his hungry was not for himself. His hungry was for to save humanity. So when the devil showed up in his "please let me introduce myself" moment, quoting scripture, weaponizing God's words to distract and defeat and derail the Son of God. But Jesus had no sympathy for the devil. Jesus just spoke clearly the words of love and power of God, because he had 40 days of preparation to fill his soul and spirit and heart. Matthew writes in these times of oppression and difficulty, as we read in these times of oppression and difficulty, in these dark times, Jesus was in the wilderness. Well, Jesus is in our wilderness now. And wherever Jesus is holy ground, preparing us ready to walk with him through the wilderness, through our discipleship, through the resurrection. The devil shows up in all kinds of ways and days, and Jesus shows up with us in the darkness and in the light, when we are faced with adversaries, haters, and evil, and he teaches us to trust where the Spirit leads, speak truth to power, and know that we are always with a loving God. So in this Lenten season, more than ever, it is important to trust where the Spirit is leading us. As Jesus, we go into the wilderness where new life is growing. We don't even see it's beneath the soil being nurtured by our tears and warmed by the sun. It is growing. New life is being created beyond what we can see. And in this time, stay rooted, focused on the word and truth of God. We see that here in St. Michael's, where the Spirit continues to move us. We are calling a new rector to lead us into our next chapter. Our renovation project is building not only new walls, but building this church out into our community. Our reparations is recognizing our need to repair and build and reconcile. Our outreach committee are the disciples of change of today. Our youth leaders are our church of tomorrow, and our future is in good hands. So let us not enter this time of Lent in grief of what we need to give up, but rather let this be a time of glorious anticipation of what we are about to see, a glorious anticipation to when the trumpets will sound, we shall be transformed. We shall be changed, the glory of what God has planned for us, all that he has created us to be. God, the creator, the artist, the painter, the writer of stories, the poet, the musician, the choreographer, the sculptor, moving together, transforming us throughout this Lenten season. I want to share a short story with you, if I may, before closing, that I heard many years ago by a Reverend Tony Hosel. There was a little boy who used to visit his grandparents. He lived in the city. They lived far out in the woods upstate, and every summer he would go visit them for 7 weeks. On one visit, he heard a tapping in the woods one day, and he went to see what the tapping was. And it was this older man within the brush, covered with a tarp, tapping away at this huge piece of stone. And he kept watching the old man and kept watching him tapping away at the stone. And every day he would go watch this man just tapping at this big piece of stone and wondered, what in heaven's name is he doing? And every day he would go and check, every day, and nothing seemed to change. 7 weeks passed. He had to go back to New York. He went back to New York. He waited all year to get back, yes, to see his grandparents. But the first thing he did when he got back after the whole year and back to the summer vacation, he ran back into the woods to see whether this old man was still there tapping away this big piece of stone. And sure enough, he ran down the road into the woods, into the forest, into the wilderness, and there was the old man. He could hear the stone. He went running and he saw the man tapping at the stone. And when he got there, he gasped and screamed, and he fell. He was so shocked. He made such a ruckus that the old man came over to him, and he bent down, and he reached out his hand, and he said, "Son, can I help you up?" And the little boy reached out his hand, and as he touched, he said, "Are you all right?" And the little boy looked up, and he said, looking at where the stone once was, he looked and said, "Oh my God, how did you know there was a lion in there?" Amen.